impacting your life. Exclusively on NewsForce247.com.
And a very good Tuesday afternoon to you fine folks. Adam Lepp here, live in the studio, here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. And we call this the Adam the Computer Guy radio program of assorted fantastic trivia news, technical support, and any time that I get behind a microphone and sit in a radio studio, there is certainly going to be a surprise or two. So hang on to your headphones. I think we'll be in for a fun ride until 3 p.m. Eastern. That's 2 p.m. Central. Also let you fine people know that I am broadcasting a live video on Facebook. Let's go ahead and take care of all the great technology available to us in 2021. If you are acquainted with me on the Book of Faces, pull up my Facebook portal under Adam the Computer Guy, or Adam Lepp in Ohio, and you'll see Adam Lepp is live now, and there I am, two people already watching me as I do this radio program featuring a close-up of my mug. Hopefully it's not too scary, because you know, Halloween is a little more than 4 months away. Nice early summer day here in mid-Ohio. Seasonal temperatures, a pleasant breeze, kind of a sky that's going back and forth between clear and partly sunny. Good radio listening weather, though. Whether you're outside, maybe having an early barbecue, or in the car, or at home, or even at the office, this station is always a good companion. You can listen the old-fashioned way, FM 107.1 megahertz, or, of course, online at WWGH1071.com. One good way to listen, if you have one of those smartphones or a phone that is at least possessing an IQ over 10, is to download the app called TuneIn. And you can tune in by searching for our station at WWGH107.1. I want to thank Jimmy B. for watching my video. He is in, I think it's called the Palmetto State, South Carolina, although he lives in Central Ohio. So that's what's nice about this station. You don't have to live in Marion. You don't even have to live in the United States of America. As long as you can access the internet, you can hear this station on demand via the magic and power of the internet. And if you ever miss a radio program, it's okay. We won't spank you. You can go to our website. And by the way, the website is maintained and programmed and curated by yours truly, WWGH1071.com. Go to the show archives or my section or Scott's section to listen to the program of your choice. Literally thousands of programs are available. We are taking your telephone calls, and again, feel free to call me about the topic of your choice. I do provide free technical support. So if you have a computer question, as I said, sometimes these smartphones have an IQ that barely goes into the double digits. So if your smartphone has become a not-so-smartphone, give me a call. Maybe we can solve the problem. And one nice thing about doing it during this show is we're not going to have you charge, we're not going to make you swipe your credit card. That's what I wanted to say. On the phone, no charge whatsoever to receive free technical support. In fact, when you get technical support from me, the good thing is that my delicious sense of humor is included at no additional price. In fact, many people say that my sense of humor is more valuable and more fun and more fruitful than the technical support itself. So you know it's gotta be good. We can also talk politics. Lots of controversial topics to discuss, many of which I am not shy about providing my viewpoint on Facebook. Of course, there are always masks and forced shutdowns, the vaccination question, the transgender athlete issue. That's becoming bigger and bigger, and I would love to hear your opinion on that. Do you prefer President Donald J. Trump, or do you prefer President Joseph Biden Jr.? What do you think about our first female and our first non-white vice president? Love to hear what you have to say. Local politics, Mr. Landon, Mr. Warner, always open to discussion about those items, so don't be shy. We'd love to talk to you. Whether or not you agree with me, your telephone calls are always welcome. You can also leave me a message on Facebook via the live video. Send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com. And last but not least, pick up the old telephone receiver, 740-383-WWGH. See, Jimmy has provided his assessment of which president he prefers. I'll leave you in suspense. Just watch my live video and you will see what his answer was. I would say that we're in a period in this country where there's a lot of divisiveness. I mean, I'm an independent. You never quite know what I'm going to think, what I'm going to say, and sometimes I change my mind, as we're allowed to do. Some people have strong opinions to the right. Some have strong opinions to the left, and some would say, I'll plead the amendment that says I have a right to keep my mouth closed. And, you know, sometimes that is one of the best policies. Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, 19 minutes after 2 on this very pleasant Thursday, June 24th, 2021. Want to remind you that if you are in the Caledonia area and you like a bargain, then you have come to the right place at the right time. There will be yard sales in the beautiful village of Caledonia this weekend. Don't want to miss that. Also, a great event coming up on the 26th of June, the Marion Black Joy Summerfest, presented by the Marion Voices Folklife Oral History Program at the Marion County Historical Society. MLK Park in Marion, 12 to 7 p.m. on June 26th. For more information, go to marionvoices.org and marionhistory.com. Great event coming up on the 26th of this month. So many great things to do during the summer here in mid-Ohio. We had our official station naturalist, James Anderson, talking with Glenn Coble between approximately 10:15 and 12 this morning about the great flora and fauna here in Marion and the surrounding area. The guy is a walking encyclopedia of critters, of plants, and anything and everything else in between. Don't want to miss that program, but again, if you do, it'll be available on our website, wwgh1071.com, before this evening. And I can assure you of that because it's yours truly who takes care of that stuff. Looking at some technology news for your information, or as they say, edutainment. In 6 short years, Amazon has risen from worst to first in the video streaming pack, according to a recently released survey. In an annual survey of the smart TV and streaming box market, Parks Associates revealed that Amazon, which had only a 12% share of the streaming video market 6 years ago, 2015, Amazon 12%, now is at 36%. They have tripled that in only 6 years. You talk about a company which is growing by leaps and bounds and continues to make good and aggressive marketing and logistical decisions. Amazon shares the top honor with Roku, an established streaming platform, also at 36%. Apple, far behind in third place at 12%, Chromecast at 8%, and everyone else at 6%. Now, Amazon's fortunes have gone up in the last 6 years. However, Google's Chromecast have declined from its high point in 2015 of 21%. Now it's at 8%. So even a huge growing company like Google doesn't necessarily stay ahead and keep increasing in its popularity for a platform. It's a competitive market out there, to say the least. Some ways, Amazon, Google, and Facebook always at each other's throats. Now, Chromecast's standing could change. According to analyst Paul Erickson, our results were first quarter survey results. The new Chromecast for TV wasn't launched until the end of the year, so it's still early to see how that will impact the Google user base. We may not see that impact for a quarter or two. The statistics that we are seeing are very US-centric, which is a base of Amazon's strength. It might be different if we were looking at Europe or somewhere else. A contributing factor to Amazon's rise in the streaming ranks has been its aggressive marketing. Plus, they run one of the largest e-commerce sites in the world. It is a huge venue for them to market their devices. They're not just capturing their Prime subscriber base with these devices. They are capturing a lot of general consumers that shop on Amazon and see the devices offered at a discounted price, or they see it bundled with something they want at a discounted price. Adam here on WWGH Radio, the talking place, discussing technology news. Again, feel free to give me a call. I provide free technical support. As I said, if your smartphone has suddenly become a very dumb phone, your printer isn't printing, you want to take your Windows computer and throw it out the window, your computer with an Intel processor is not too intelligent, your server is only serving you headaches, you have come to the right place. 740-383-9944 to discuss technology, but again, politics, current events, the weather, sports, all fair game. So feel free to chime in. We would enjoy the pleasure, or as I say, the pleasure of your participation in this radio program. We're talking about how Amazon has greatly increased its popularity, its subscriber base in the competitive video streaming market. Analyst Adam Wright. Now, with a name like that and a last name of Wright, he's got to know what he's doing. Anyway, he says that three contributors to Amazon's success in the streaming market are its content and services strategy, its hardware strategy, and its leveraging of the broader smart home ecosystem and brand. That's some pretty deep stuff, my friends. He said, over the past few years, Amazon has done an excellent job in building out a user-friendly streaming platform that delivers a wide range of channels and content to the point where any previous major competitive edge or difference between Amazon and competitors like Roku have been whittled down. Amazon has built out an attractive portfolio of streaming content, both original content via Prime Video and third-party content, and it has also partnered with the right streaming platforms like HBO and Paramount and a plethora, always like that word, plethora, of others to deliver content that consumers are interested in. But Amazon's success also lies beyond just the Fire TV streaming platform and streaming content. Amazon has done an exceptional job in developing its own hardware that is constantly being updated with new features, including 4K capabilities, HDR, and Dolby Atmos for better picture and sound quality. And I do have a Fire Stick, which I've possessed for a couple years. It is wonderful. You can pull up websites. It's kind of like if you go back that far to Web TV, where you would turn your TV into a web surfing computer. Of course, we've advanced quite a bit since then, but essentially the Fire Stick allows you to do that. Plus, Amazon Video, all these great streaming channels, like Pluto, which carries one of my favorite shows, Three's Company, as well as The Love Boat, and many other programs, lots of great movies, Hulu, and many, many others, Tubi TV, Philo TV, so many great channels just from this $39 stick from Amazon, the Fire Stick. And you can also watch that stuff on your phone or tablet if you wish. So many things great about Amazon and its foray into the streaming market. And you can see why they have increased their popularity to the point that they are now number one. Now, it has been exceptionally aggressive of Amazon in their pricing strategy. Again, the Fire Stick, I mean, on sale, $29.39, with Prime Day having been earlier this week. There were some crazy bargains out there. And again, when you charge these kind of prices for something that is so useful, people are going to purchase it. Now, we are seeing, as I mentioned, like with Amazon Prime Days, frequent and significant discounts of Fire TV streaming players and bundling of these streaming sticks and streaming boxes with other smart home devices. And of course, that will drive sales and grow the user base. Amazon has also built a very broad and robust ecosystem of smart home devices. Many things: smart speakers, security products, displays, smart plugs and appliances you can control with your phone. Cool stuff. Lighting. Just go to an app on your phone and you can turn out your lights, turn them on. Or if you forget to turn your lights out and you're 100 miles away, just pull up the app and voila, it can turn it off with a tap. Pretty cool stuff. Also good for keeping things safe and secure. Tighter integration of Amazon's famous digital assistant, Alexa, is also contributing to the success of its streaming devices. You can actually go beyond just tapping a button on your phone. Just say, "Alexa, turn my lights out." Pretty smart, to say the least. Being able to use voice commands to control the TV functionality or to search for content, or even to pull up a live view of a video doorbell or control a light elsewhere in the home is a big draw for many consumers. And again, that comes from Adam Wright. He's got a good first name and a good last name, so I think his information is accurate. He's an expert in this kind of stuff. Much of Amazon's success over the last 6 years has been at the expense of its competitors. Jim Nail is a principal analyst with Forrester Research. He said, "Apple has never put much emphasis on TV in any form. They've only made a token effort. And the TV business really isn't big enough for Google to worry that much about." Apple is very focused on its own ecosystem, according to the experts. The price of its offerings reflect that. They're not competing with Main Street devices by pricing their devices at $149 and up, when the majority of the volume in the market is under $50. I mean, that's less than the price of gas in some cases. Adam Wright, that's his name, by the way, but again, with a name like that, he probably is right. He asserted that Apple's market share has suffered significantly because it fell behind in the smart home race early on and doesn't have as much of an ecosystem to leverage compared to Amazon for driving sales of devices and generating those ecosystem spillover effects. Google never offered much of a range or updates when it comes to the hardware, only recently receiving some revitalization with the launch of its new Chromecast and Google TV. As I see it, folks, it's a bit like Google Plus. They made that social networking platform to compete with Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, but it never took off. In fact, it basically was a disaster, and it was very confusing. I still don't understand it, but the good news is that it's been discontinued. There is no more Google Plus, so if you don't understand it, more than likely, you are in good company. And I think Google, even they, don't really understand what it was supposed to do or how to use it. So Google Plus has gone the way of the hula hoop and the pet rock, and that's probably for the better. And that'll happen. Not everything that one of these big, profitable, innovative technology companies introduces will always be useful and be popular. Now, other competitors like Roku, a well-known streaming platform that's been around a while, are continually looking for new ways to grow. Ross Rubin, he is from Reticle Research, a consumer tech advisory firm in New York City. He said a lot of the volume of streaming device makers these days is in licensing. They're the TV operating systems behind a lot of brands. Amazon has done a little bit of work there, but not as much as Roku. Roku has also moved into making home theater equipment, like soundbars, with Roku software embedded in it, and offering its own content, though the Roku channel and the recent purchase of the library of the short-lived, short-form video streaming service, Quibi. Don't these places have interesting names? Quibi. I think that's how you pronounce it, Q-U-I-B-I. Gaming could also be fertile territory for streaming device makers. The expert from New York City, Reticle Research, Ross Rubin, a lot of R's there, he said a lot of these guys have experimented with games. There may be some room for growth out there because streaming game service operators like Microsoft, Amazon, and Nvidia want to expand to television because in many cases the games that they're streaming were originally designed by a TV-like interface. If there's one cloud on the horizon for streaming device makers, it could be the smart TV. Adam Wright said, I think one of the most pertinent factors that will have an increasing impact over the next 3 to 5 years is the rise of smart TVs. Now, with the Fire Stick, what it essentially does is turn your TV into a smart TV. I have I think it's like 58-inch TV in my bedroom where I got a Fire Stick. I plugged it into the HDMI, and suddenly it is a smart TV, whereas the smart TVs already come with this capability. But to me, if you just have a regular TV with the digital tuning and the HDMI, plug in your Fire Stick, and it's a customized smart TV experience. Currently, surveys indicate that consumers are still buying streaming sticks at the same time they buy a smart TV, even though the smart TV can stream content. That's why I say maybe it's better just buy a non-smart TV and kind of do it yourself. But again, sometimes the overlapping can complement what the TV already can do for you. The reason is that the capabilities of smart TVs are yet to match those of streaming players. So again, sometimes smart TVs are not overly smart in every way. And considering how inexpensive these sticks are, it may be good to cover your bases from both directions. Smart TV makers are catching up quickly, and we very well might see streaming players face some stiff competition from smart TVs in the coming years. So, news for you from the world of smart video technology and Amazon's rapid rise into being number one in the streaming video service department. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial and broadcasting live via the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. Broadcasting a live video on Facebook through my Facebook page of Adam the Computer Guy or Adam Lepp in Ohio. And of course, you can comment, questions, complaints, suggestions, what have you, via said live video. And of course, give me a call if you wish, 740-383-9944. You may have heard some rumors about Windows 10 going the way of the hula hoop and the pet rock. That is Windows 10 going to the retirement home. So you might ask, when is that going to happen? Well, don't freak out, boys and girls. It's almost 4.5 years away as Microsoft gets ready to debut Windows 11. Now, if you're like me, there are some things about Windows 10 that you like and some things that you can't stand. I've been known to call Windows 10 everything that you hate about your smartphone, now available in a 27-inch monitor. But drivers install well. You can download it and reinstall if needed. The download itself is easy and free from Microsoft's website. It automatically finds the licensing information most of the time from the computer. It tends to start quickly. It has many good capabilities like multiple monitors, but there are some issues with it. One of the big ones is that when it does an update, sometimes you find the computer has turned into a paperweight, or at least you need to do some recovery to get it to work properly. I think that's improved since Windows 10 came out, but it still has an issue or two. And you can customize it, make it look more like Windows 7 if you so desire. So, some good and bad. I mean, I've grown into it a little bit, but I still think that Windows 7 is better. So, you might ask, what's going to happen with Windows 11? Is it going to be an improvement, or will people like myself find ways to bash it, knowing that they liked what we had before? Now, Windows 10 Home and Pro will be retired on October 14th of 2025. So 4+ years away. Now, just because it's retired doesn't mean that you can't keep using it. I still use XP and 7, even Vista. And I understand that they've been retired, but if you know what you're doing, then I feel there are advantages to using an older operating system. For one thing, a lot of software works better. Plus, it doesn't use as much resources as Windows 10. So if you again know what you're doing, you don't have to use an operating system that has officially not been retired, so to speak. Anyway, this revelation about Windows 10 having support ending in the fall of 2025 came just before Microsoft's What's Next Window event for this week, and also hints from Satya Nadella, their CEO, that a major new version of Windows is on deck. Now, time flies, of course, the older that you get. So when was Windows 10 released? Well, 2015. So 2025 would be in that 10-year time frame, which is typical for Microsoft to support an operating system. With more people working remotely, according to Michael Cherry, a Windows analyst at Directions on Microsoft, an independent IT advisory service focused exclusively on Microsoft, based in Kirkland, Washington. Anyway, Michael Cherry said, with more people working remotely and likely to continue to do so in the future, there may be an increased interest in replacing existing PCs or acquiring new PCs, and a major release of an operating system can keep people interested in new hardware. So yeah, the events of the last year and a half or so have increased the need to work at home and greatly changed the whole landscape. So I do agree with him. He said it requires compelling features like improvements to security or enabling a new class of applications to really drive momentum to change an operating system. It cannot merely be changed for the sake of change. Now, in the old days, the name of the new version of Windows would be simple, Windows 11. You know, 10's a nice round number, 11's a prime number, but, you know, it has a bit of a charm to it. Anyway, when Windows 10 was introduced, Microsoft declared it would be the last version with a number. That has led to speculation about whether Microsoft will drop Windows as the name for its operating system. Now, wouldn't that be a revelation? After using Windows as a name since, well, how long? I would say early 90s at least. I mean, 30 years plus at this point. Are they going to stop using the word Windows? Jim McGregor is from Tyrios Research. They're in Phoenix, a high-tech research and advisory firm. He said, I would not be surprised if they did. It's probably time for a branding update. Since there is significant value in the Windows trademark, Microsoft will likely retain it in some form. They could possibly benefit from just dropping the 10 and making Windows the sole name of the operating system, with some other name or code name designating a particular release or version. Apple did that when it ditched OS X and went to Mac OS. Versions of Mac OS are designated by place names like Sierra or Monterey. Keep in mind that there are versions, Windows 7, 8, 10, and additions, Home, Pro, Enterprise, to keep the naming more confusing than it needs to be. It would be great if they would drop the additions, but additions are used to create a feature and pricing matrix. So, many exciting and mysterious things on the way for Windows and Microsoft. Adam here at the Talking Place, taking your telephone correspondences at 740-383-9944. Again, Windows 10 is going to enter the retirement. Let's put it that way, in October of 2025. So we have 4+ years left. And the mystery is, what are they going to call the new version? Windows 11 or something else? Microsoft has retained the same business model because it's been a cash cow. And that's probably why Bill Gates, other founders of Microsoft, and their current people that are in charge are all multi-zillionaires. But as Microsoft moves on toward more cloud services, their model has been changing. So it's not surprising to see their Windows model change as well. They might try to roll it into a package where it includes other products. So you're not just paying for Windows, you're paying for Office and a bunch of other programs. You're paying for a suite, much like you pay for cable TV today. You get a whole bunch of stuff that you don't want, but if you want cable, you are going to pay the monthly fee. And again, 90% of the cable channels that I have never watched, nor would I ever watch. But for those 10% of cable channels that I do watch, it's worth getting the service. And kind of the same thing with a lot of computer products. If the operating system is pre-installed on a PC, then the cost of the operating system is built into the purchase price. For people who have an existing device capable of running the new operating system, then it becomes a function of whether the intent is to spur new sales of the operating system or keep people on an operating system versus switching to a competitor. Likely, there will be some mix of free to people who are on a currently supported version and potentially a cost for others who are not on a currently supported version. So, some interesting steps to be taken as the new version of Windows comes out. I want to thank Ricky in Florida for watching the video. It is quite possible that the video might come in and out, but that's technology for you. Sometimes these smartphones aren't quite so smart. I want to thank Greg also for watching. Here on The Talking Place, we broadcast a live video, we broadcast over the air, and of course we broadcast over the internet, WWGH1071.com. We are talking about the new version of Windows that will be launching at some time in the near future and the retirement of Windows 10 in late October of 2025. Although Microsoft will continue to charge PC makers who pre-install Windows on their machines because that remains a significant source of revenue to Microsoft, chances are that upgrades to the new operating system will be free. And that comes from Ross Rubin. We quoted him earlier. He is the principal analyst at Reticle Research, where they seem to like the letter R, a consumer tech advisory firm in New York City. Even the fee for pre-installing the operating system may be averted in some cases. For example, Microsoft waived the fee for installing Windows on tablets in an attempt to cut into the iPad market. This competition between Apple and Microsoft can be quite cutthroat at times. He said it wouldn't be surprising if there were a fee waiver for certain PC designs that were more like a Chromebook. Microsoft might even try a hybrid approach to pricing the new operating system. Microsoft has a lot of versions of Windows. Home, professional, enterprise. So a possibility is they could make a baseline version of Windows available for free. And if you want more capability, then they would charge you for that. Since many companies, including Microsoft, have become obsessed with charging monthly fees for software, might that be a pricing alternative for the new Windows? The plot thickens, boys and girls. It would be difficult for them to compete against Apple and Google if they forced a subscription fee just for Windows. But you never quite know what Microsoft might have up their sleeve. Adam here at the Talking Place, 11 minutes before 3, taking your phone calls again if you have a question about your computer. Maybe your server is only serving you headaches. Maybe you'd like to throw your Windows computer out the window. Your printer isn't printing. Your modem is not modulating. And in general, you wish that you could go back to the days of using an abacus and talking to your friend with tin cans and string. So if you have technology headaches, you've come to the right place, boys and girls. Taking your telephone calls live on the air, 740-383-9944. We are discussing that Microsoft will be retiring Windows 10 in October of 2025. However, like any of these so-called firm software retirement dates, it might change. After a Windows version is officially retired, they usually support it for 2 years or so to give enterprises time to change. Consumers, though, may never convert over. Microsoft has a history of extending support for versions of Windows many years beyond the announced date of retirement. Given the amount of time that Windows 10 has been the flagship operating system, it got a huge installed base. It wouldn't be surprising to see that date pushed out. Sometimes it has to do with the uptake of whatever comes after it. If the next version does not resonate, Microsoft would be inclined to keep Windows 10 around longer. If it's a good, solid release, supports existing applications, and enables new applications or workflows, it will likely follow a similar trajectory to Windows 7 and 10. If the operating system is unstable, or the changes are too drastic or uninteresting, then it will follow Windows 8, which didn't last very long because basically it stunk. And that's why it was quickly replaced with Windows 10. Vista also, although not as bad as 8, had its issues, and Windows 7 was a major improvement over Vista. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, with the Adam the Computer Guy radio program. Taking your telephone calls at 740-383-9944. The world of work is changing. New technologies are transforming how companies hire, train, and manage employees. With COVID, increased numbers of people have been working remotely, and many will continue to do so in the future. This has fundamentally altered how work is done, not only by company staff, but by human resources professionals. This societal shift, combined with the continued emergence of new digital technologies, means that the field of human resources is in the midst of radical evolution. Richard Evans is an expert in this kind of stuff, and he said, "I think companies are going to struggle to get staff back into the office full-time, so we are likely at a turning point in history where people increasingly leave the high rents of cities to work remotely. Firms will need to accommodate this change by investing more in collaborative online work software." One essential way that technology is changing human resource practices is in the realm of finding, interviewing, and screening employees. Companies are focused on identifying the right employees for jobs, even as they are trying to save time and money in the process. Hannah Goldenberg, a marketing specialist, said, COVID forced the hand of many organizations to adapt to virtual interviewing. After realizing the convenience on top of cost and time savings, many organizations plan to continue their virtual hiring process beyond lockdowns and stay-at-home orders. Often the virtual hiring process can be even more personalized than the traditional one. Many companies use HR technology to improve the personalization of their hiring process, be that through more frequent and timely communication with candidates, as well as incorporating video explanations of the positions by current employees and even outbound recruiting and one-way video interviewing. Both companies and potential workers are using digital technologies to learn about each other. The goal, obviously, to find the right fit. COVID has moved everything online, so pre-recorded online interviews are now standard. Video resumes are on the rise as employers want to know the personality of their applicants. Job seekers also care increasingly about the culture and lifestyle of their potential employer. They are putting less and less weighting on maximizing earnings potential and more on work-life balance and job satisfaction. Background and reference checking is also getting a boost from new technologies. Michael Fitzsimmons from CrossCHQ, an expert, said, at a base level, leveraging the power of the cloud and artificial intelligence are key technology foundations that are important to drive better recruiting and hiring. In addition to that, mobile usage is a massive consideration. For example, more than 70% of CrossCHQ user activity takes place on mobile devices. Lastly, having easy-to-use interfaces that integrate with other platforms is mandatory to help optimize workflows for recruiters and talent teams. So the landscape of hiring, training, and of course firing people is changing rapidly, especially in the age of COVID and the post-pandemic world. A fascinating field, which I think will continue to become fascinatinger. Is that a word? Fascinatinger. Well, that's okay. Donald Trump made up words. I can make up words too, because that's how we roll. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, getting ready to bid you a fair adieu. Auf Wiedersehen and adios in about 3 minutes. But that's okay. If you enjoy my program, I thank you very much for that. We get together every Monday between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11 to talk politics, current events, special guests, you name it, we talk about it, or pick a topic. And also on Tuesday and Thursday between 2:13 p.m. Eastern and 3 in the afternoon. Great way to spend the middle of your day. Listen in the car, at home, at the office, while you're taking a walk or jog or walking the pet. Or, of course, listen online, WWGH1071.com, or through the TuneIn app on any smart device. Remind you again, a great event coming up in a few days. On June 26th, 12 to 7 p.m. at MLK Park here in Marion, Marion Black Joy Summer Fest, presented by the Marion Voices Folklife Oral History Program at the Marion County Historical Society. For more information, marionvoices.org and marionhistory.com. Also, if you are a fan of yard sales, as my mama used to say, one man's meat is another man's poison. in Caledonia this weekend will be a plethora, I told you I like that word, a plethora of yard sales. Short drive to Caledonia from downtown Marion, well worth the gasoline, or if you are riding a motor scooter or bicycle or you like to walk, a good way to spend energy, human or otherwise, some bargains and some good schmoozing in Caledonia this weekend for yard sales. Speaking of yard sales, garage sales on Owens Road West between Route 4 and 203, Friday and Saturday, coming up, that is tomorrow and the day after, from 8 to 3. Many are cleaning out from several years. Beds, furniture, lawn furniture, file cabinets, toys, household items, ladders, sewing machines, holiday stuff, tools, much, much more. That's on Owens Road, tomorrow and Saturday from 8 to 3. For questions, 740-360-8902. Adam Lepp here, thanking you for listening here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Coming up tomorrow morning, the interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears, is on from 8 a.m. to 10, and then from 10:13 until 11, and then Pastor Steve Whitaker between 11:13 and 12. Have a great day. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.